You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King. Grizzlies take another loss last night to the Warriors. 110-93 was the final. Grizzlies dropped to 16-14. As expected, a loss, and we'll get into this game pretty much this entire show today. And in the third segment of today's show, we have Amari Sankofa joining me yesterday for a talk about the Grizzlies in general, just about what he thinks the problem is with the Grizzlies, Jamaica Green and Dylan Brooks and the trade and all kinds of other things. So stay tuned for that conversation with myself and Amari Sankofa, writer at The Athletic, and I appreciate him joining me. That's a good conversation, so stick around for that. But first, this Grizzlies loss. Again, it's a loss that I think we all sort of expected. Doesn't make it any less shitty to have to watch, especially when it's a 9:30 tip and the game doesn't get over till like midnight. It's a tough one to stay up for sure. I think I made it through most of the game, right up to the end. But a game that Mike Conley was ruled out for last minute, right before game time. He had his hamstring had tightened up on him. He's having some problems with that over the past few games. So his hamstring tightened up on him, so he did not play. So Shelvin Mack got the start. To be quite honest, they should have pulled Marc Gasol. Should never even started this game. He should have been sitting on the bench with Mike Conley and Dylan Brooks and just saving it for the next game of the Trailblazers. Because even with Mike Conley, it was a tough game to win. It was going to be a struggle to get that win on the road. And then you lose Mike Conley before tip, it's just not going to happen. Unfortunately, Marc Gasol is not going to let himself sit out, which is just, really, honestly, is just a travesty. Like, if you're the coaching staff and you're the front office, at some point you have to say, hey, look, we need you to help us. We need you to be maximum against the Blazers, because that's the more winnable game for us. With Mike, it's not really that much of a winnable game. But Grizzlies, they go down big in the first half. They only score 16 points in the second quarter, which is just awful. Marc Gasol finishes with 15 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal. Had a decent game. Was 5 for 9 from the field, but only took 9 shots in a game where Mike Conley is out. You can't only take 9 shots. You got to take like 15, 16, 17 shots if you're Marc Gasol, if you want to even have a chance at winning the game. But again, there were times in the first half that Grizzlies were coming down and literally not even Marc Gasol was not even touching the ball. Just quick shots, just not good. Shelvin Mack played 25 minutes, 8 points, 3 for 6 from the field, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. Not a bad game from Shelvin Mack. In reality, that's really what you kind of expect from Shelvin Mack. You want him to have 8 to 10 points a game, maybe 11. Really kind of barely get into the double digits, have some assist, really continue to keep the offense going. That's what you want from your backup point guard, period. You don't need him to go out and, with Mike Conley on the floor, you don't have to have him to go out and score the ball. That's not what Shelvin Mack is. Some of the games that Shelvin Mack has given us earlier in the year is just, that's just not what Shelvin Mack is. This is what he is right here. But in a game where they're really outmatched, it's tough to say, hey, go out and score a lot of points. I mean, that's just not who he is. And then Garrett Temple took the most shots, 12 shots, 5 for 12, 13 points, assist, rebound, had a couple steals in 25 minutes. Garrett Temple was really hunting for points out there. It looked almost like he knew that someone had to shoot. Someone had to score the basketball at some point. He did okay. He was really looking for a shot. Wasn't really super efficient. Kyle Anderson was 6 for 9, had 14 points. Had a really good game for Kyle Anderson. Had a lot of several times where Marc Gasol was in the post and they would bring the double over and he would immediately cut to the basket and Mark found him for the cut for a layup. And to be quite honest, that should be happening way more than it is already. I mean, that should be a design play for the Grizzlies at some point, especially for Kyle Anderson getting easy buckets, him driving through the lane, something they don't do enough of. And really, you know, you would really want to see more of that. And this is a game where, you know, you knew you weren't going to win this game, and you really need to experiment some. Experiment with plays like that. But it didn't happen as expected. Jaren Jackson, 1-for-6 from the field, was not good at all. 3 points, several early fouls, just not, not what you need from him. The only bright spot off the bench was Omri Caspi, 21 minutes, 8-for-10, 20 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, a block. Played really well. I mean, I think it's time we see more Omri Caspi in the lineups and less Marshawn Brooks. Marshawn Brooks played 19 minutes. Joakim Noah, 14. Everybody played last night. Ivan Rad played. Yuta played. Wayne Selden played. Javon Carter played again in heavy minutes. 25 minutes, 5 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal. 2-for-8 from field, 1-for-4 from 3. Just an average game from a rookie in his second game from a rookie at the point guard spot. You can't really fault him. He's going up against really good players there as well. So I'm not too down on Javon's game right there. So hopefully he'll continue to get playing time as the games progress, especially on this road trip, and he's with them, so I would expect him to play every game. The Grizzlies' defense was not there. They let the Warriors score 61 before halftime. I think the score was like 61-38 or something at halftime. They were up by 23 or 24. I mean, it was not. It was bad. It was not good at all. And the Grizzlies come out in the second half, and they decide they were going to want to play, which is great. But once you're down 24, 23 points, it doesn't matter at that point. It doesn't matter that you want to play, and now you're all of a sudden want to play defense because you've burned yourself in the first half. So Grizzlies outscore the Warriors in the third quarter, 29-23, and then actually tie them up 26-26 in the fourth quarter. So if you look at the second half, honestly, if you had just gotten a little more defense in the first half, a little better offense in the first half, it's a competitive game. I mean, the score doesn't really bear that out, but if you look at quarter by quarter, they win the third quarter, they tie the fourth quarter. It's just that first and especially really that second quarter that really killed them, and they outscored them by 15 points in that second quarter. You cannot have quarters in the NBA where you only score 16 points, and you're not going to win that many games if you do that. Grizzlies have done it in the past, earlier this year, where they've only scored 15, 16 points, and they don't win the games. I mean, you cannot have that quarters that are that bad. And if you do, you can't let them score 31. It's that simple. Your defense has to be elite if you're going to have this offense. If this is the offense you're going to run, it's going to be this crappy right now. You can't continue to have quarters where you have mental lapses. You have to be on the defensive assignments 100% of the time. And that's hard to do in an NBA game, and not every team is going to do that for every minute, every player of the NBA game. They're not going to be 100% on their defensive assignment. And that's kind of the issue. You're going to take mental, you're going to have mental lapses. It's going to happen for every player. You have plays that you either take off or just don't get to, you have bad plays. It just happens. And so, that's why it's so hard to say you have to be an elite defense, and if you're going to have this offense, you have to be an elite defense to win games. That's why it's so difficult, because it's hard to have an elite defense 100% of the time. It's just difficult, and it doesn't ever happen in the NBA. That's the reason they lost this game. To be quite honest, they should never even competed. It should have been a bunch of backup guys, and it should have been experimenting. But we'll talk about that more after the break. We'll continue to talk about this Grizzlies Warriors loss, and in that last segment again, Amari Sankofa, writer of The Athletic, will join me. I'll have a conversation about the Grizzlies as well. Welcome back to the show. Again, I just want to continue this Grizzlies-Warriors lost. It's a game that you, again, like I started to talk about right before the break, is it's a game you should have been experimenting. And Peter Edmondson tweeted this last night, and I totally agree with him, that after that first half, Marc Gasol should not have come back in the game. This is a time to experiment with lineups. Try to see what you can get with Kyle Anderson, point guard. Try to see what you can do maybe with running plays for Jaren Jackson. I mean, this is a game that there are a lot of games in the NBA regular season that just work out this way, whether you're down big or never in it at all, or things like that. And these are the times where you really want to experiment with your lineups and really see what you got in other players, see what you have in Javon Carter, see what you have in Ivan Rabb. The fact that Ivan Rabb only got 5 minutes and 30 seconds is a travesty. I mean, why is he not playing? Why is Marshawn Brooks getting 19 minutes? You know what you have in Marshawn Brooks. You know exactly what you have in Marshawn Brooks. The fact that Ivan Rabb's getting 5 minutes and 30 seconds, even Yuta getting 3 minutes, and put Yuta out there on the floor. See what you got with him. See what he can do against actual NBA talent. Same thing with Javon Carter. Give him 30 minutes. See what you can get with Kyle Anderson running the point. See what you can do with Jaren Jackson running plays for him, getting him in the post. All these type of things that we talk about on this podcast and everybody else writes about and everybody else talks about on their radio shows, these are the type of things, and this is the exact situation where you want to experiment in these things. But for some reason, unbeknownst to anybody else but the coaching staff and the Grizzlies, they roll Marc Gasol out in the third quarter, no surprise there, and don't do anything remotely that looks anything like experimenting. They don't do anything of that. It's a game where you're not going to win. You're down by 24 in the first half. Do you really think you're going to make this massive comeback without Mike Conley? Do you really think that that's going to happen? It's not. And don't fool yourselves. It's very disappointing to know that the Grizzlies do not try to do this type of things in games where they're down big. And Marc Gasol continues to play, even though he should not even be out there, even though he's still probably a little bit hurt. When you have the chance to rest your stars for other games, you have to rest them. If that comes to telling Marc Gasol he can't play, you tell Marc Gasol he can't play. I mean, I don't know how else to do this, but it happens every game. They're getting blown out. Everybody seems to see it, except for the coaching staff, except for the Grizzlies, to not play Marc Gasol, let him rest, let him get, you know, let even Garrett Temple get rest. Let, you know, these guys that are playing 28, 30 minutes a game, let those guys get some breaks. I mean, granted, Marc Gasol only plays 25 minutes, which is great, but it should have been zero, or it should have been 15. You know, so unfortunately for the Grizzlies, they decided not to do that. It's disappointing to see that. I wish they would go out there and really try to see what they got, and especially some of these players, these young players, because when you're getting blown out, that's what those moments are for. But the Grizzlies are going to do exactly what they do, and the fact that Marc Gasol came out there for that last for that second half did not surprise me one bit. But coming up after the break, we will talk to Amari Sankofa, writer for The Athletic, covers the Grizzlies. We'll get his take on a lot of the Grizzlies, things that are happening, why they're losing, Michael Green talk, the trade talk that never happened, Dylan Brooks, just a really good conversation from Amari, and I appreciate him joining me. We'll have that next coming up. Welcome. Thanks for taking the time out and joining me on the show, Amari. I do want to get your thoughts on some other stuff that happened on the weekend. It was a crazy weekend for Grizzlies. I guess Memphis sports altogether, but just kind of a bad weekend. But yeah. First things first, the Grizzlies have been not great over the past 12 games. We talked about back on the show on Monday show. I talked about why I think the Grizzlies have not been great as of late, but I want to get your thoughts. What makes you think why the Grizzlies need to do to get back on the right side of things?
Yeah, honestly, a big factor in sort of the recent downturn has just been the fact that Marc Gasol hasn't really looked healthy. He had the ankle injury, and he was visibly kind of slowed out there for a couple of weeks or so. You know, shots weren't really falling. He wasn't as aggressive on the glass as he usually is. He wasn't this aggressive as far as looking for his own shot. And, you know, as big as Mike Conley has been as well, you know, I think this is a team that really, really depends on Marc Gasol's impact on both sides of the floor to be the team that they are. And he wasn't doing that for 2 weeks. So, you know, I think that's why you see them lose to Denver, the depleted Denver team on the road. You know, that's why they lose to Miami. Surging right now, and it's kind of hard to win when James Harden has a triple-double and Chris Paul and Clint Capella are playing their A game as well. So I think that's been the biggest reason, just kind of lack of health overall. It's also been talked a lot. Their rebounding has been a big issue this season. They are bottom five both, you know, in offense and defensive rebound percentage. And that's really what killed them against Miami. They were giving up those second chance point opportunities. And when you play a slow pace like the Grizzlies do, you can't afford to be out-hustled on the board. You really can't. There are only so many, you know, opportunities you have to score, so you kind of have to maintain that effort throughout, and they didn't. So, you know, assuming Marcus all gets healthy and, you know, Joakim Noah gets back to not his old self, but, you know, to the point where he can rebound better. And, you know, I think that this could be turned around, but, you know, it really hasn't looked good, especially considering how good the West has been as a whole.
But you kind of hit the nail right on the head with Marc Gasol. I mean, he has been hurt, and as good as he's been the past couple of years in different areas, he really put that all together this year and was playing early out of his mind in the first part of the year. But the Grizzlies also have trouble scoring the basketball at times, and I think we may have sold ourselves into a little bit more of Shelvin Mack and Garrett Temple that we thought. But what do you think? Do you think just Dylan Brooks will help that in the secondary scoring? Do you think they need to go out and look for a trade to facilitate a secondary playmaker or a third or fourth playmaker off the bench?
I think Dylan Brooks coming back will help. I think he's a little bit more of a more consistent contributor than Wayne Selden and Marshawn are, which, you know, obviously, you know, when you're winning games by like the thin margins that or losing games by the thin margins that they have been, you know, something as simple as that could really go a long way. With that said, I don't know if the combination of, you know, the current wing group, you know, Shelvin Mack, Garrett Temple, Dylan Brooks when he comes back, Marshawn Wayne, I'm not positive if that's still good enough to get it done on a lot of nights. You know, I think they kind of, you know, you see based on what happened on Friday that the Grizzlies probably feel similarly considering they were about to flip Marshawn and Wayne Selden. I think it's definitely been exacerbated by the fact that, you know, like as you said, Garrett Temple and Shelvin Mack have kind of come back to earth. But point being, you know, if that's what's deciding some of these games, the fact that you're definitely getting it done, then clearly you need to do something about it, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and you mentioned that the trade that never was. Your thoughts on what, I mean, would you have embraced Kelly? Would you have liked Kelly Oubre even at the giving up Dylan Brooks for Kelly Oubre? Would that be something you have done as well? Or would you have been Chris Wallace's take and been adamant that he would not be in the deal?
I think Chris Wallace was right to not be the deal. I think Kelly Oubre is a good player. He is a very high-energy defender. Three-point shot hasn't been very consistent. I think he's only shooting like 31% from three this season, which, you know, probably is, you know, like the Grizzlies would need more from whatever wing they get back. But he's still young. You know, he's around the same age as Dylan Brooks. And I think he would be a good fit on this team. I just don't know if he's that much better of a prospect than Dylan Brooks, that you flip Dylan Brooks for him, especially considering that, you know, you have Dylan Brooks for a couple more years here, and Oubre will be a restricted free agent, I believe, next summer. So that trade didn't have enough upside, in my opinion, for it to be worthwhile.
Absolutely. I think you're right. And I think I probably landed in the same spot. I mean, I think Kelly Oubre and Dylan Brooks are right around the same player. And given Dylan Brooks' contract, I think he'd probably stick with that. Now, if they had been able to flip Marshawn and Wayne for Kelly Oubre, I would have been over the moon. It would have been great. Would have been a steal, but and there's a reason why they didn't want Marshawn Brooks. There's a reason why they didn't want him. They wanted Dylan. They wanted the better player, obviously. The only thing I'll ask you, I really wanted to figure out is, or what I want to get your opinion on is Jaren Jackson. I mean, you see a lot of him. I mean, we see a lot of people talk about how his offense is not there, or he could be the third playmaker on this team. He could be the third scorer. You know, I think some of that is coaching. I think some of that is also Jaren Jackson putting himself in bad spots by early fouls, which are actual correct foul calls. I mean, it's not like he's getting phantom foul calls. What's your thoughts on Jaren Jackson? Is it coaching? Is it Jaren Jackson? What do you think he has to do to be able to be that third playmaker, third scorer on this team?
Yeah, I think in a lot of ways he is already there, just in the fact that, I mean, he's already a very, very good post scorer, which, you know, we've seen, you know, almost every game now. You know, sometimes, you know, the clock winds down, you have 6 seconds left. You know, he establishes his post position, you dump it to him, you know, he's able to get the hook to go. You know, I think that's built out a lot of possessions for him this year. You know, I think, you know, as you said, the biggest issue with him has been staying on the court, which he struggled with that at Michigan State last year, too. You know, I went to Michigan State and, you know, I watched most of his games last year. And, you know, that was probably the biggest knock against him coming out of college. And that's kept him out of a lot of games this year for sure. I also think JB just really, really, really likes Jamichael Green. He's talked about how hard it was for him to tell Jamichael Green, hey, you're coming off the bench. And he really does see Jamichael Green as like a six-man type of guy. And Jamichael's been very, very good. And, you know, I think sometimes you see the conversation on Twitter, you know, J-Mike versus Jaren. You know, I think to a degree people overrate. I think people judge Jaren Jackson by his best games and they judge J-Mike by his worst games. When you look at kind of what they contributed, and J-Mike has been very, very good for this team. So I don't think it's as cut as and dry as Jaren should always play over J-Mike. But I think getting his fouls down would be a very, very big factor in that. And, you know, I also think as the season goes on, you know, I think Jaren will continue to show that, you know, he is the third most important player on this team just from an impact standpoint, you know, after Conley and Gasol. And, you know, I think Bickerstaff will continue to have to make some tough decisions there.
Yeah, I mean, Jaren is a kid. He's a rookie. I mean, he's gonna go through learning curves. It's a trust factor as well with these guys. I mean, you have someone like Mark and Mike out there. You know, it's a trust factor for JB, for Mike, for Mark, for everybody. And as like you said, the season continues, it will probably change. It will get a little bit better. But speaking of Jamichael, I've very been a huge fan of Jamichael just because he's consistent. Because you know what you're gonna get Jamichael off the bench. You know exactly what you're gonna have from him every night. But what do the Grizzlies do with Jamichael this year? Do they try to trade him, get something for him, or do they just try to go into the offseason and maybe use a mid-level exception or try to retain him for the future?
Yeah, I think the big question there is, you know, it's kind of hard to get a feel for how much he's valued across the league, simply because he missed the first month of the season, and you know, and then, you know, he's always just been a role player. Like, you look at what he's doing, he's grabbing about 7 rebounds and, you know, less than 30 minutes a game, which he's been a very good rebounder. He's hitting about 40% of his threes on 2 attempts a game. Like, those are good numbers. You know, he's 6'8", you know, he's a solid defender. You know, I think, you know, around February, around the trade deadline, you know, there will be teams, as there are every year, that are looking at what they have. You know, they have a bad contract and they're looking at guys who can come in, help them make that playoff push, and, you know, maybe unload a deal that could help a team like the Grizzlies. And I do think J-Mike will become more coveted as the year goes on. I think he's the exact type of player that a lot of, you know, championship contending teams look at when they're looking at their depth situation or looking at what they can do just to improve it now and not commit for the future. So I do think he'll be a valuable trade chip. I think for the Grizzlies, it just comes down to where they are, you know, in February. Is this a team that, you know, is looking at an 8 seed? You know, do they continue to slump? Or do they kind of turn it back around and they, you know, pay at the 12-5 pace they were at before the slump? You know, if they're closer to 12-5, he probably stays. But closer to, you know, like slipping out of the playoff race, you know, and now you're looking at what does Marcus Smart say this summer and whatnot. Probably makes sense to move on from J-Mike. Probably makes sense to see what assets you can get in return. So I think overall it's a tough question to answer now. But, you know, as the season progresses, it really does depend on how the Grizzlies feel about, you know, just the future of this team, the immediate future of the team.
Amari, I appreciate it. Amari Sankofa, writer at the Athletic, man. I appreciate you coming on. Appreciate you taking the time out. The Grizzlies will take on, as we record this, they take on the Warriors tonight. So we'll see. As that record might get worse after tonight, but we'll see. But again, appreciate you coming on and talking Grizzlies with me.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks again to Amari Sankofa, writer for The Athletic, covers the Grizzlies, for joining me. I thought it was a good conversation. I thought it was very insightful. We'll try to do that again soon with him. Again, I'm Mark King. Find me online at King_producer. Make sure you follow the show on Twitter at LockedOnGrizz. If you'd like to be a featured sponsor on this show, please email me at LockedOnGrizz@gmail.com. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts, or online at LockedOnGrizzlies.com.